You know, how do we do both? How do we be leaders for our families and be leaders in the world? Because if we're only leaders in the world, eventually we end up not bringing up a generation of people that can carry that torch forward and who can be good citizens and good people in the world.
You're listening to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast, the number one resource for active duty veterans and their families who want to learn how to build real wealth through real estate investing. Each week, we sit down with top military real estate investors, industry experts, and leaders who share their secrets to success in the real estate game. Now,
get off your ass,
get motivated, and take action to make your financial freedom dreams a reality.
Before we get started with today's show, I have to let my faithful ADPI podcast family in on a little secret. For the past year, we've been hard at work trying to consolidate all of our Epic resources into one community-based platform to damn near guarantee our member success. I'm proud to announce the launch of ADPI Campus, our off-Facebook, all-in-one platform dedicated to helping the military community own more of the land they swore to protect and defend. From networking to live workshops to courses, masterminds, cohorts, and even one-on-one coaching, ADPI Campus is the community for military real estate investors worldwide. Sign up for your free trial of ADPI Campus at www.adpicampus.com, where you'll get complete access to our brand new bootcamp mini course and our exclusive deal room where you can list, connect, buy, and sell deals alongside other military real estate investors. That's www.adpicampus.com to sign up now for free. Do it now before it's too late. Now, let's start the show. Hey, how's it going, everyone? Kevin Brenner here, host of the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast, and today's guest is really, really special. We're going to be talking a little bit different than what we normally talk about. So if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that, well, we talk about real estate investing, we talk about how to make money, and we talk about how to leverage other people's money and how to create wealth and financial freedom and all of that stuff. And along that way, I feel like it's very easy to, how can I say this, lose focus on what's most important in our lives. And that's why I wanted to bring this guest on, because this special guest his name is Mike McCarthy, and he has an incredible story for us. But not only that, he actually wrote the book on this. If you've ever read the Miracle Morning series, you know, Hal Elrod wrote the Miracle Morning, and then Hal worked with David Osborne to write the Miracle Morning for Millionaires, and Hal also worked with Mike McCarthy to write the Miracle Morning for Parents and Families. Did I say that right? Or is it Families and Parents?
You got it.
I got it right the first time. but the point here is, it's so easy to get lost, you know, as we're working our active duty jobs or we're working our W-2 jobs. It's so easy to get lost by doing all this real estate investing and everything, and you're working like crazy, and then you end up kind of distancing yourself from your family. But at the end of the day, you make all this money and then you have no one to spend it on, because you know, you may have driven a wedge by choosing your business over your family, and we want to avoid that. And the whole point is, it's about a balance. So this episode is all, it's going to be about balance. It's going to be about how to achieve that, and different strategies you can take to not only bring your family on board in your endeavors, but also have your, you know, make your family the centerpiece of what you're trying to accomplish. Because it's not just about money, right? And once you can achieve that like level of thinking, then it makes things a lot easier for you, your family, and everyone that surrounds you in your sphere of influence. So let's get right into this. So I did a pretty poor job of introducing our guest today, but Mike, I know you can talk. You know, Mike here, obviously he's you know, a best-selling author. He's the co-founder of GoBundance, which is an amazing, amazing mastermind with some of the top real estate investors and top entrepreneurs around the country that work together and really believe in the abundance mindset and go-giving and paying it forward. And then he's also the co-owner of many, many, many Keller Williams brokerages around the country. So he's got a real estate background, and that's why he was going to be perfect for this episode. So, Mike, how are you doing this morning, and what did I miss in your introduction?
Oh, you nailed it, man. You really brought it together there at the end. It was a little rocky in the beginning, but you nailed it.
Now, there you go. Stuck the landing.
Yeah. The landing's the most important part. But no, I mean, you hit on it all. I mean, We also wrote a book for GoBundance called The Tribe of Millionaires. So I'm a co-author with my partners in GoBundance on that book. I think you've had David Osborne on the show before, and David is one of my best friends, was one of my early mentors, and we're partners not only in GoBundance, but in a Keller Williams region. So we own the North Florida region of Keller Williams together. And then I run and operate what you were referencing is the greater Pennsylvania region for Keller Williams, which is all of the brokerages in Southern Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware. So over 10,000 agents. We did about $20 billion last year in sales. So
wow,
big, big business as far as real estate's concerned. And while that's all really amazing, what you alluded to is that I am on a mission to really deliver a message to the world, entrepreneurs, hustlers, leaders, people that are change makers like your audience, that while making money and having success in business is extremely important, bringing your skills as a leader home and showing up for your family is equally as important. And especially if you end up having a lot of success, which if you pay attention to this podcast and you implement the things that are talked about, you're going to end up with a lot of financial success and a lot of options. And sometimes we choose to go on a pursuit of more when it comes to money and success, and we sometimes leave the family behind, and we use them as the excuse for why we're doing the more pursuit. And oftentimes all our family really wants is just enough and more time with whoever is missing from the household, whether that's mom or dad, because it could be either mom or dad out chasing, you know, financial success, or it could be both of them. But what kids really need, especially today in this world, is for them to be taught and shown leadership. And that just can't happen if you outsource that to public or even private schools these days. They're just not adequate to equip a family that is succeeding at that level.
Yeah. Yeah. And wow, there's so much to unpack there just in your intro comments, Mike. I mean, I think the thing that stuck out to me the most was just, you know, involving your family in your personal why. Because so Tim Kelly and I know you know Tim from GoBundance. Tim and I wrote a book, the 13-Week Action Journal, and that's, you know, that helps people not only identify their why, but take action every single day over a period of 13 weeks or one quarter, and, you know, chase down their quarterly goals. But the development of your why is so important, and weaving your family into that. So you said, you know, a second ago, you said, well, a lot of people use their family as an excuse, right? To, oh, well, I'm hustling so hard. I'm working, you know, 16 hours a day or 12 hours a day or whatever to provide for my family. And yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that people that's a bad thing, but I think you owe it to yourself. And honestly, you owe it to your family if you were to better define that in your why. Because, you know, for me, my why, and I'll share it on the podcast, is to build a legacy of financial wealth, not only financial wealth, but also financial wealth and financial literacy for my family through abundance and joy. Like that's my why. That's what I do every single day. I write it down every single day. You know, interweaving the family into it and getting deeper on that, I think has helped me focus on why I want to do this and why I want to be so successful. Because success is a metric we can, success is something, it's whatever we define it as. Success could be making $1 million, could be making $1,000. But at the end of the day, you know, it's important who's around you and who's in your circle and who's supporting you and who is accompanying you on this journey to success. And I think that's why the family needs to be more involved.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times we have this future target of, hey, when I achieve X, I'll finally be happy, or I'll finally spend more time with my family. And what I've seen with most entrepreneurs is that they get to wherever that next place is, and then they just reset their goal to something bigger, and then they just keep going on the same path. And they don't often stop and give themselves the time to appreciate, like, hey, look, yes, there are mountains to continue climbing in front of us, but how often do we look back and go, man, I used to have zero passive income, or I used to have zero ambition towards building a financial legacy. So we have to learn to celebrate our wins as we go along that journey. And also we have to keep checking and making sure that we don't fall out of balance, because most people would say that their family is the most important thing in their life. But if you were to go and look at their schedule, would their schedule reflect that that's the most important thing in their life? You'd probably see that there's a lot of other things that take precedent in their schedule over their family. And so we've got to really think about how can we line these things up and be equally there for our family as a leader as we are any of our teams or our businesses. Because, you know, nobody would argue with this, that in order to have a successful team, you have to have regular meetings. You have to talk about what's going well. You got to talk about what needs to change. You've got to have goals that everybody understands. You've got to have values that are well stated so they can become guiding principles for that team. Nobody would argue that those are the main things you have to do to lead a successful team. I would just put the idea out there that your number one team is your family, because who are you doing all of this for? So when do you have family meetings? When do you set family goals? When do you do personal development as a family? You know, when do you discuss the values or design the values that become the guideposts that direct your family and help you through not only tough times, but also so that you know when to celebrate when you're on track with the values that you put out there? So I think, you know, my message that I think is an underserved message in the business world is, you know, how do we do both? How do we be leaders for our families and be leaders in the world? Because if we're only leaders in the world, eventually we end up not bringing up a generation of people that can carry that torch forward and who can be good citizens and good people in the world. And I think that right now, more than ever, what we need is we need good people. We need our children to grow up. And unfortunately, because some of the people who've come before us, you know, the generations ahead of us, and even our own generation, we've sort of messed the world up a little bit. It's a bit divided, and there's a lot of challenges that our children will face. And so now more than ever, we need to be active in the leadership of our family. And sometimes we outsource that to either a babysitter or the schools or mm-hmm. maybe a spouse that's staying home. And that might work in some cases, but what would work better if we all did it together? If the school was aligned with the mom and dad, you know, both spouses all together, setting the tone for what a healthy team looks like. And then if the team is healthy, it's one that helps everybody on that team achieve its goals. So you're really just setting your family up for success. And I think that's so needed right now in the world. And, you know, I love real estate. I love investing. I do a ton of it. We could talk a little bit about, you know, that side of my life, because I think it's also important. But just know that at some point I realized that my number one priority was to make sure that the legacy I've built isn't just one of wealth, but of character and values, so that my kids are not crushed by the pressure of having to lead something that they never got to see me lead. They never learned what I was doing along the way, but yet I built it for them. I might turn it over to them someday, but what about the pressure that comes along with that? Are they going to be equipped to handle that kind of pressure? And mm-hmm. if they're not, what does that do to them? If they end up failing at it, then what is that? Where does that leave them? You've created the exact opposite scenario of what you want to create, because the guilt and shame that would come along with, hey, I had this amazing opportunity. My dad or mom worked so hard to build this, and then I had no clue what to do with it, and I mm-hmm. squandered it away, or it led me into other really awful things, drug, alcohol abuse. You see this in second generation entrepreneurs that they really struggle. And so I love the quote by Warren Buffett. It's leave your kids enough so they can do anything, but not enough so that they can do nothing. Mm-hmm. And so how do we find that balance of leaving them the right skills and then building a bridge to what they actually want in life? And we maybe help them with some flint and kindling, but we don't give them the whole fire and say, hey, here's a fire. It's all yours. We've got to give them the tools. Yeah, give them the tools to build what they need to build instead of just turning it over to them. And I think a lot of estate planning is bringing this to light, but it's all up to you, everyone listening, Kevin, you and me, to make sure that our estates and the legacies we're building, they're not just wealth, but they contain the character, the education, the values that will make them good stewards of whatever has been built so they can actually build upon it and carry it forward to the next generation, which,
exactly.
You know, I think that's when we think legacy, we don't always think, well, I just hope it lasts one more generation and then, you know, the rest can fend for themselves. We always think like, I want to build a forever legacy, something that impacts my great, great, great grandchildren as well as my own
children. Yeah, that generational wealth. I mean, that's what we talk about. But, you know, it's how you define wealth. And a lot of people, I think, you know, obviously they look at the financial aspect of wealth, but I would argue that there's a physical aspect of wealth regarding your health. I would argue that there's an emotional aspect of wealth regarding your mental health and your state of emotions. How do you, you know, how are you handling, you know, your business and the stressors that are put on it? Because you mentioned earlier, you know, taking time to, you know, yes, there's always going to be mountains to climb. Always, always, always. You will never be at the top, but you gotta, you know, you gotta stop and look down and say like, wow, we climbed pretty far. You know, we made it to this next base camp. If I'm taking this Everest metaphor all the way to the summit, we made it to the base camp. That's a long way, you know, and looking back and celebrating that and celebrating with the people who are most near and dear to you, but also being able to educate and influence them. So, you know, it is super important. And that's why I want to ask you a question here, Mike. For folks who are listening, and obviously, you know, a lot of these folks are active duty or they're veterans, but let's assume that they're active duty, they're working, they're deploying a lot, they're going TDY a lot. You know, what are some tips for you to better involve the family into just general life and to build that character? But also maybe if these folks are also military real estate investors, what are some tips that you would share with these folks to maybe involve their families more into their own financial goals, hopes, dreams, wishes, successes?
Yeah. Great question. And, you know, we have the second edition of our book coming out, The Miracle Morning for Parents and Families, which you mentioned. The reason it's a second edition is because 5 years ago when we released the original version, we didn't feel like we were the best parents out there. The book sort of forced us, and this is a good lesson in like why write a book, is it really puts you on the hook and is some of the greatest accountability for leveling up and whatever that is. So we put out a great book. It got great reviews. But 5 years later, we're realizing like, hey, there's a lot of things we've learned in the last 5 years that we really ought to put in that book. And one thing we are also releasing is an accompanying playbook or a family workbook, if you will, that has these types of exercises. You sit down with the family. So I'll touch on some of the exercises that are in that playbook specifically, because I think that's where we depart a little bit from it just being all about the miracle morning and doing a morning ritual with the family where everyone's sort of picking their own way of developing themselves, which, you know, that's where I would start is, you know, every day, mom, dad, and kids, they should all have some things that they're doing each morning to better themselves before they go to school. And if you can't get it in before you go to school, then maybe after school or sometime during the day. In our household, our kids are not allowed to do screen time until they've done their miracle morning. And so they're very motivated to get there.
They're very motivated.
And the miracle morning for the kids is called CHARMS, which it's an acronym for creativity. So we want them doing something creativity. Health. We want them to eat a healthy breakfast or some healthy food throughout the day, but also get some exercise. Mm-hmm. Affirmations. We're big believers in the words that you speak create your reality. Reading. So we have them do some type of reading. It can be any reading they want, but preferably, especially for adults, you want something that's going to help you gain perspective or learn something that will help you to be better.
Twilight.
So the CHAR. So the M is meditation. So our kids meditate for at least 3 to 5 minutes every day. And then the last one is service. So they've got to do something to serve someone else in the house or someone else in the world every day before they can get their screens. Now they have a tracker where they check off, you know, what they've done. And we really see that as like the foundation. This is like step one, getting the family on board to really take this time and carve it out, whether it's 10 minutes, 30 minutes, or 60 minutes, but to really carve that time out where you're building yourself up, you're learning, you're growing. And ultimately, it comes down to self-care, which is something that a lot of people give up along the way when they're trying to succeed and hustle, is they forget about the idea of securing your own oxygen mask first before assisting others. It's a good metaphor for life, not just for an airplane. So, you know, starting with doing the CHARMS as a family is huge. But I would say, you know, one thing that is a game changer is coming up with your family values. So determining, and this, by the way, is not like a biblical, like Moses moment where you come down from the mountaintops with,
with the slate and the whole thing.
Ingrained in stone. Yeah. You know, mommy and daddy came up with, these are our family values and you shall this point forward follow these values. It's really about a style of leadership that is all inclusive, where everybody in the family gets together and sits down and they say, you know what, let's study our history. When have we been at our best as a family? By the way, when have our grandparents and our great grandparents been at their best? What are some of the values that we can learn from their successes and the moments that they have, memories that they've forged that have made it and stood the test of time? But it's also looking at the challenges. When have we been really challenged as a family or made big mistakes? Or when have, you know, everyone has a crazy uncle. So when Uncle Sam or whoever you want to call it, you know, had his stint with whatever and it was really awful and it was a challenge, what is the lesson that you could learn from that? So it's distilling from your actual life, your family life, multiple generations. What are the values that we hold in high regard that we want to be true for our family as we move forward? And it usually comes down to some values, which are just some words put together, like ours are playful adventurers, transformation seekers, present visionaries, resilient warriors, servant leaders, I think I might have already said that one, peaceful collaborators. So those are all the values that we hold true in our family, but we also have guiding principles that explain what it means to live those values. So under each one, we've got a definition. And that way, you know, what does it mean to be a servant leader? It means that we generously share our life's blessings with the like-hearted families that we bring together. That's our servant leader guiding principle. And so this exercise on how to do this is in the playbook, which we're releasing on October 25th. But I believe that above all else, the thing that we can share and instill into our families is, what does it mean to be a McCarthy? How does a McCarthy behave in certain situations? When a challenge is in front of a McCarthy, what do? Well, they activate the value of being a resilient warrior, which is, we're strong, courageous, and swift. And we follow our McCarthy family motto, which is that nothing is difficult to the brave and faithful. And so when our kids face something like getting stitches or going to the dentist, they will say to us, I'm going to be a resilient warrior today. And so they're learning through these values what it means to be a McCarthy. And I think that's something that, whether you're deployed or super busy with projects, and Zoom is a great platform now to where, you know, even if you were deployed from your family, it would be great if you still all got on Zoom and you talked about your family history, and using post-it notes, capture the values and strengths that live in those stories, and then synthesize them and wordsmith them into some values and some guiding principles. And by the way, a lot of people, they do that, and then what happens is they take their beautifully written values and then they go on a shelf somewhere in the house, and they don't get revisited. And we don't call that self-help. We call that shelf help, right? Because it's not doing good. Any good
shelf help
if it's sitting on the shelf. So what we do, and this is another aspect of what I think would be, you know, some of the top couple of things that you could do to really lead your family, whether you're physically with them or not, is to structure a weekly family meeting. And in that meeting, I'll share what we do briefly, but in that meeting, what we cover is, number one, what are we grateful for? And we say that in general, everyone shares. And then we give each person in the family a gratitude shower where we all say why we're grateful for Kevin. Every family member would say, hey, here's why we're grateful for Kevin. And then Kevin, you would say, because this is important, here's why I'm grateful for myself. And so every family member gets that gratitude shower. Next, what we do is we all share, what are our high point moments as individuals for the last week? What are our wins? Where did we have moments that were challenging, but we overcame them? What are the moments that we just had a lot of fun and we really went into an adventure of some sort? And then we'll shift and say, now, as a family, where were we at our best? What did we do really well this last week as a family? And so getting into some of those individual and family high point moments creates, on top of the gratitude, it creates a very collaborative, appreciative energy from which you're starting the family meeting from. Because let's face it, like, a lot of times meetings are, here's all the things that we're doing wrong. Here's all the things we need to change. So when you're doing a meeting, even at work or with your work teams, I would start it almost the exact same way as what I just said. But in this case, you do it with the family because you want it to be appreciative. You want the kids to want to be there. If they think it's just going to be a gripe session about how they don't make their beds and things like that, then it's not gonna go so well.
Well, you want the buy-in, you know, from every one of the family members, not just the kids. You want, you know, because if you don't have that, then it's not going to be sincere, and you know, it's going to be like you're forcing them to do something. And I could just imagine. I don't have any children myself, but I could imagine how it could go badly quickly if you're not vigilant. Hey guys, Kevin here, and I wanted to interrupt this week's podcast episode with just kind of a public service announcement. I don't know if you guys know this, but we have this thing called the cohort, and we have one for commercial real estate and one for residential real estate. But the cohorts have been a smashing success as we launched them in 2023 and moving into 2024. We literally have like a wait list going right now. But if you're interested in learning how to do real estate investing alongside other like-minded, super focused people in the military community, like in our community, then you're going to want to sign up for the cohort. And the way we have it set up and that we're moving this direction with a residential cohort and a commercial cohort is the residential is going to focus on everything 1 to 4 units, whether that's buy and hold or BRRRR or short-term rentals and Airbnbs or like all of that stuff is in the residential side. And then your commercial real estate one, which is super powerful, is going to be focused on those large commercial 7-figure apartment buildings, mobile home parks, RV parks, things like that, that you thought you could never get involved in. But now with our brand new education on ADPI campus, which you guys know about, and combine that with our cohort and our coaches and everything coming together, it's becoming a very, very, very powerful tool. So if you're interested in getting involved with this, what you need to do is go into ADPI Campus, log into ADPI Campus. And if you don't have it, again, go to www.adpicampus.com, sign up for free. Go in there and check out the events and just make comments. Go in and make a comment and say like, hey, when's the next cohort starting? And we'll get you hooked up. It's that simple. And we'll get you on the wait list and where you need to be. So again, if you guys are interested in taking your real estate game to the next level, seriously consider joining one of ADPI's highly coveted and exclusive cohorts, either for residential or commercial. They're all awesome, and people are getting fantastic results. So hope to see you in one of those cohorts. And until then, we shall get back to the show. One other thing you said there, Mike, when you're talking about creating family values, I think there's such a parallel for folks in the military because each service has a set of core values that they instill into each and every one of us. And, you know, depending on your service, you know, in the Air Force, it's integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all we do, right? Those are the core values that you have to, you know, they memorize and forever, right? And I'll never forget those. And those have influenced my values in my business, my values personally, my values with my family. But having those to kind of draw from, you know, there's a reason that the military put those values out there, not just to make you memorize things. It's because that's the people that's the type of people they want leading their troops, right? So using that to create your family values is really, really powerful. You just got to bring that thing that you learned at basic training, bring that home and use that workbook that Mike was talking about in his latest book to help create your family values and then go through these exercises. But we're so close. We're like 1 degree of separation away from bringing it home, but no one ever really shares that. Even in the military, they don't really share that too much. You know, most of it's like take care of your family and, you know, oh, we'll give you some time off if we can. But then, you know, you go overseas and you're deployed and you're doing the job. So it could get really, really busy, and I think it's really easy to overlook. But I love how you're having these meetings. What day do you hold these meetings?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we usually do it on Saturday or Sunday.
Okay.
Lately, because we've done it so many times now, we know the flow of it. We can actually do it in the car on the way to church and then finish it on the way back home from church, which is great. And I love what you said about bringing the same type of understanding of values that are applied in whatever branch of service, bringing them home, or that same idea. And I think, you know, living them is more important even than defining them, and catching somebody who's living the values in the family is also even more important. So, you know, in that meeting, what we'll do is throughout the gratitude and the high points, we will have a conversation about, hey, where did you see each other living the values within your gratitudes and in our high point stories? And who needs to be celebrated and recognized for having lived those values? And I think that's where the practice becomes really palpable and effective, is when you actually start having ongoing discussions about the values. And that's what brings them to life and helps to reward and make people feel good about living those values. And that's what deeply instills those values in our family, and I would imagine in any branch of military, any organization, the more you're talking about it and pointing out when people are on point with them, then the more they really have a chance to blossom and grow.
Yeah, I think there's a common theme in what you're saying here, and it's about celebrating others. And it's, I think that is, you're saying it, and it's the common theme, but it's not, I wouldn't say it's popular, you know, as far as people don't do it nearly as much as they should. Whether that's a team meeting for your investment business, whether that's, you know, a squad meeting with your platoon, whether that's, you know, celebrate others, celebrate victories. And that is going to, that effect of just, you know, like you said, having a gratitude shower, call it whatever you will, but it is so, so incredibly effective. And it's a great way to achieve buy-in from other people, because once you get that buy-in, what you're doing is you're unlocking that other person's creativity. When they want to be there, they're going to want to work with you and for you in, you know, in concert with whatever mission you're trying to achieve. So if that's, you know, you have a team and you're going to flip houses, or you have a, you know, you built out your team and you're looking for deals and all of this stuff, and, you know, your realtor, you know, is sending you crap deals and all this stuff, don't get upset. Just have a conversation and say, hey, thank you so much for sending me, you know, and putting me on all of these lists and sending me this stuff. This is great. You know, I couldn't have done what I'm trying to do without you. You're an integral part of this team. I think it could be better if XYZ, lay that out, but start with that gratitude. And I think you'll get really far. With regards to building a team and actually doing real estate investing, how would you apply what you're talking about with the family to a business, or for someone especially getting started in the business world?
Yeah, well, you know, for me, the secret to business has been to be able to build great teams. You know, the reason that I was able to spend less time working on my real estate business and more time being the co-founder of GoBundance. I was also the CEO of GoBundance for 3 years, all while still leading another business and, you know, freeing myself up in order to be able to write books and focus on, you know, delivering a message that I think can impact the world, this idea of family. That was all made possible by being a great, great leader of a team. And I think what people want in a leader is not somebody who is berating them and telling them how it should be and where they screwed up and really coming at them. What somebody wants is to be really appreciated for the efforts that they're putting in. And they really want to also, and this is a key, is they want to have a say in the direction of the company, in the values, mm-hmm. the mission, the vision. And that's not always possible in an organization, you know, like a military branch that's been around for a long time. You're not going to get to create the values. But if you let a platoon, for instance, you could come up with your own motto, your own ethos, your own subset of values or sayings that are unique to that group. And I think in any team, rather than somebody saying, hey, I'm the leader, here's what I think our motto should be, or here's what our, you know, the way that we should operate is this, what's good is to get everyone together and as a leader to give up some of your authority and your power and your control and ask people, what do they want?
Yeah.
How do they want it? How can it be more collaborative? And so we move from this place of command and control, and I'm the one in charge, to, hey, I'm just one of the team members here, and I just want to collaborate with you because the best ideas are not in one person's head. They are in the collective genius of any group. And so the more that you're willing to, you know, and I hear this all the time in business, especially with real estate agents, is, well, nobody could do as good a job as I can do at it. Mm-hmm. And that's just not true, because we could go find, even if you were the top agent in your marketplace, I guarantee you that there's someone in a neighboring marketplace that's selling more houses than you are. Mm-hmm. So to say that nobody does it as good as I can do it, there is a lack of humility that keeps you locked into your job. And I think you're locked into it because you get so much ego satisfaction from doing whatever it is. Because when you're good at something and you do it well, it feels good. Like the ego gets pumped up and you're like, I am the man or I'm the woman and I crush this and I crush my job. But you have to be careful because that's a trap that will keep you doing that job forever. And I think that the great leaders, they go and find people that are better than they are and they surround themselves with people that want their job and potentially mm-hmm. can even do a much better job at it. So, you know, my secret with my real estate team is that I have three executives on my team who are all smarter and better at their jobs than I ever was when I was doing those jobs. Now, there's a little bit of a blow to the ego that you take because people will say to you, man, John is doing an incredible job. Things are so much better now that John's leading. And you're like, you're like, you've got to kind of go, yeah, that's true. Good for John. This is yeah. amazing.
Have like, that gratitude shower. And yeah.
Yeah. You've got to accept that. And even in GoBundance, like the new CEO, he's crushing it. You know, he's doing things that I wasn't able to do. And I'm happy for him. I want him to do better than I ever did. And then some. Is it a little bit of a blow to my ego? Yeah, because when I was the CEO, I thought I was the man and I had it down. But then you see someone else come in and do it better than you. You've got to be able to appreciate that because that's what frees you up from any job. The only job I don't want to get freed up from and have someone else do for me is being a father and a mm-hmm. husband. Those are the jobs where I need to keep being the best that I can be and arming myself with tools, resources to help me be better in there. But in any other role, business-wise or career-wise that I've had, my goal has always been, how quickly can I find somebody else that can do this job better than me and create an opportunity for them and for me to get some of my time back? And so I think a lot of that applies to the family. Some of it doesn't, but what does apply is when you have these family meetings or you develop your family values or you come up with your miracle morning practice or your bedtime ritual. Even in our house, we have a currency called the McCarthy Stars, and that's how the kids earn rewards for doing work around the house. And then they can turn those stars in at an exchange rate for money, or they can buy sweets, or they can buy screen time right. with it. But in any of these systems that you might want to put in your house, the biggest mistake is that you think that mom and dad need to come up with it on their own. And what we need is to enable equal voice and give the kids the ability to create what it is that they're about to be a part of, because we own the things that we create at a different level than if they're shoved down our throat. And
that buy-in.
That yeah. principle applies across any business, any mm-hmm. organization, any place of leadership, and especially with kids. And we're often asked, well, what if my kids don't want to participate? I always do a massive takeaway close. This is where I brush off my old sales skills and I do a hard takeaway close and I say, hey, you don't want to be a part of this? No problem. Mom and dad are going to come up with your goals. We're going to set the family values. We're going to decide what we're doing next weekend, and you're not going to get a say in it. So if you want to have a say in our family and you want your voice to matter, which it does, mom and dad believe that you bring a lot to the table, then you got to show up for these moments with your full self, ready to participate. If you don't want to, that's fine. But just know that the consequences to that are that you don't get to be involved in picking your future. And most kids are like, okay, I'm in. Now, if they're younger than, let's say, 4 or 5, they may call your bluff and say, no, I'd rather go play with my trucks. But if you keep you keep doing that, eventually, it works in a beautiful, beautiful way. And you know what? Even if the kids can't participate, let's say they're 3 or 4 and they can't participate in these family meetings or structuring the values, there's something to be said about the osmosis of them being exposed to meaningful conversations being had in the family, for them to witness that this happens and just see it over time. I think it really begins to set in like, hey, this is something important. And so you get 100% of the benefit by just inviting them into the conversation, whether or not they choose to actually participate or not, because you're modeling for them what it looks like to have meaningful conversations that help build the family up.
Yeah. Now that this is, I mean, this is fantastic, Mike. I really, really appreciate this. There's so much to unpack here. We're going to have you on again because there is just so much. I want to get into the bonus round because we are running very, very short on time. So we're going to breeze through this bonus round in about 2 to 3 minutes. But I want people to know this stuff because it is so critically important to your success to have those other people around you and have those cheerleaders with you and developing with you as well. But bonus round, same 4 questions we ask each and every guest. Real quick, Mike, what's your favorite book or software that's really been crushing it for you lately?
Oh man, that's a good question. I forget what I put when you asked me this originally, so I'm not going to line it up. But you know, the thing I think what I wrote in there is I'm reading a book right now called Entrusted, and that book really speaks to the technical side of building a legacy. So how do you weave into your estate plan all of the things that we've been talking about, like character and values and really making it so that it's not just stuff you talk about and it's great, but that eventually when I'm not here and my wife is no longer here, we actually have a ethos and values and things that are the ways that McCarthy's do things that are passed down to future generations. And so that, you know, it can stand the test of time. And also so that it gives our kids enough to do anything, but not enough to do nothing, right? So that they have the ability to earn opportunity in the trust, but nothing is going to be given to them in the sense of like inheritance. What they're going to get is the ability to go and earn the rights to have opportunity through the trust and the legacy that I've built. So that's the book that's just so in line with my message, but they are so much smarter about the technical estate planning side of it. And, you know, also how to make sure you don't pay more taxes than are necessary. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm against paying taxes. I pay a lot of taxes, but I also don't want to be stupid and have all of my estate eventually be gobbled up by taxes and there'd be
nothing
left over.
Or caught in probate somewhere or something crazy like that. No, that's a really, really important aspect of everything here. So, for those listening, Entrusted, Building a Legacy That Lasts, that book will be in the show notes as well as Mike's book. And if depending on the release date, maybe his new book will be in there as well. So question number 2, real quick, who's your biggest hero and why?
You know, I would say my biggest hero would be my wife. I think, you know, we have a really interesting story in that, you know, when she married me, I was working my butt off. I was out of shape. I cared really mainly about work and making money. I was 195 pounds. I'm now about 150 pounds. And so she has been my biggest supporter and cheerleader. And we all need somebody who believes in us even before we can believe in ourselves, and to hold that sort of that space for us to grow into. And so we've just really grown together as a husband and wife. We've been married 15 years. Obviously, Fantastic. She's produced two amazing children that have made me a father. So, you know, I think she's my hero.
Excellent. Excellent. Let's lighten it up a little bit. What do you like to do for fun?
So I do anything that involves riding a board. So skateboard, snowboard, wake surfing. I have a one wheel that I ride around my neighborhood, which is like a electric skateboard. So anything with a board, luckily my son loves those types of sports as well. And my daughter does too. So it becomes a family activity, but yeah, anything outdoors, especially if I'm riding on a board.
That's awesome. And I know, Mike, you've dropped so many nuggets. I'm not going to ask you for three, but if you had one nugget of wisdom to share with folks who might be just trying to get into real estate, or they're struggling to bring their family on board into their business ventures and kind of mesh the two, what would that one nugget of wisdom be?
You know, I think just carve out the time to get together once a week or once a month, if that's what works for you, to just really talk about what's important to your family, to understand each other's goals, to shape a vision for what direction the family wants to go, short term or long term. But just, you know, even if it's a total cluster and it's a mess, which ours always were in the beginning too, like take that time and make a stand for your family, even if it has to be on Zoom, and get everybody on the same page. Talk about why you're grateful for each other. Talk about what's going well in the family. Talk about even how things might get better and what you want the future to look like. But carve that time out once a week, once a month, whatever you can do, to focus on your family the same way you would any other business venture or work team or career that you were working on. Like, put in at least the minimal amount that you might do for those organizations and groups for your family. Do it for your family and see what comes of it. See what you can design together and how much more collaborative you can get. And at a bare minimum, you'll get to understand what it looks like to be a team instead of just a family, because I believe that your family is your number one team.
Yeah, fantastic. That is a fantastic tip. And Mike McCarthy, you have been absolutely incredible here. So much knowledge on something that we kind of overlook. It's so easy to overlook, but then it's so, so critical. So if you get the chance and you know someone who could really use and listen to this, all you need to do is take a screenshot of this podcast on your phone right now and text it to them. Say, hey, listen to Mike talk about family, because this is something that anyone can improve on. They really, really can. So Mike, thank you so much. What's the best way that our listeners can get in touch with you?
Yeah, so the book and the playbook will come out on Amazon on October 25th. So that's some way that they can get those materials. My wife has a blog with lots of parenting resources at gratefulparent.com. And then you can find me at gomikemccarthy.com. That's my website. So if anybody's interested, I do plan to do some public speaking on these topics at entrepreneurial or any type of events. And so if you're interested in that, I'd love to come share. It's my life's mission. So I'm not some high-priced keynote speaker that's looking to make a buck, but I just really want to get my message out there. So if there's an opportunity to do that within your company or within a mastermind group that you're in or anywhere, I would be honored to share that message with anybody who it can add value to.
Awesome. Awesome. We're going to have all those links to your website, your wife's website, and anywhere to get in touch with you. Guys, just make sure that you go ahead and go down to the show notes and click that, and you'll be able to get put in touch with Mike and learn more. Thank you
hey,
so
Kevin,
much, Mike.
I just want to say one last thing, because this is the right space for it. But for everybody who is listening to this, who's serving our country, I just want you to know how grateful I am for the sacrifices that you've made in your life And I hope that it ends up turning into lots of abundance because of what you've given. You've either given or have signed up to give the ultimate price of your life, your livelihood. Your family makes sacrifices for this as well. So I would just be remiss if I just didn't, from the bottom of my heart, thank all of the servicemen and women out there who are dedicating their lives to protecting our country and to making our country the best country that there is. So thank you to all of you.
That's incredible, Mike. Thank you so much for saying that. Very rarely do people do that live on the air. And that was really, really touching. So guys, please get in touch with Mike. Because there's so much more to learn than what we talked about in the last 55 minutes here, but it is absolutely incredible and really paramount that you involve your family into what you're doing, because they're going to be the ones, when it all comes down, they're going to be the ones who care and they're going to be the ones that, you know, you're going to celebrate with your life with. So Mike, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I think we're definitely going to have to have you on again, because there is so much here. So we'll be sure to schedule that soon.
Cool. Thanks, Kevin. Really appreciate it.
All right, great. I'll see you next time.
Another amazing episode in the books. Thanks so much to our special guest. And thank you for listening. Don't forget to tap the subscribe button now to make sure you don't miss an episode. Or head over to our website at www.activedutypassiveincome.com to grab all of our free resources and discover how you can get started on your financial freedom journey today.